Joining us now at our studios is Rice County Attorney John Fossum. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Jeff.
Thank you so much for coming in today.
It's a beautiful day today.
It is perfect.
I made it in.
Yeah. I was just looking at some stats. You know what? A year ago today, 96 degrees. We set the record high.
Wow.
I'm thinking, boy, I didn't like the cold spring, but I'm glad it's not 96 right now. We don't need to make up for that in one day.
Well, I'll tell you, Jeff, I spent, when I was in Afghanistan, we had a week where it was 120 every day, and except for Friday when it was 130. So I've decided since then I don't complain about the heat. So you're not gonna lure me into complaining about the heat here.
Let's move into some news. First of all, I want to ask you about apparent murder case that happened just last week in Morristown. I mean, do you think of the sleepy little Morristown, a small town, but things happened there. What can you tell us about that?
Well, of course, gun violence and issues can happen anywhere. And so this was a situation where there were four people living in the house, and two of them were gone, at some point, one of the people lived in the house, picked up a shotgun, and walked across the room and leveled it at the roommate and pulled the trigger twice and killed him with the shotgun. So currently he's been charged with the second degree murder, and the case is in process. He's in the Rice County Jail with a court order for $1 million. In unconditional bail, or $500,000 in conditional bail. So that's where we are with that case right now. Let's be moving on. There's a second appearance, Rule 8 hearing next week. So we've got we're still moving forward with the case.
Now, I understand that he has confessed to the crime, but I don't know if he has entered any pleas as of yet. Is that confession, does that, I would suppose that holds some weight in a court of law?
Yeah, the statements that people make can be used against them. So we released, some of those statements were included in the complaint, and some of the things that he said spontaneously were included in the complaint, and if we get to a trial, the jury would get to hear a lot of those things, and so we would talk about that stuff. He the system doesn't allow him to enter a plea until we get to the omnibus hearing, which is the next hearing down the road after the one that's next week. So we'll have to deal with the process in the order that it goes in. So at this point, he hasn't entered a plea of guilty or a plea of not guilty, and we'll give him, he'll give it. He has a lawyer appointed that will be dealing with the case, and we'll be working with his lawyer and talking to his lawyer about how the case moves forward.
We have had a spike in gun violence. It's not just this year, but it's been more noticeable as of late with some of the mass shootings that have been going on, and there's quite a bit of talk about gun control. Evidently, the House, the headlines this morning is the House passes some new gun limits. From a standpoint of being a prosecuting attorney, what are your thoughts on that? Is there any, do you advocate any particular stance when it comes to that? And are you in the position to advocate one stance or not?
I don't, and I'm not advocating for any specific position on gun control. Our focus is that we take the cases that we have, we get the charges that we get, and we try to make sure that we enforce the law. You know, in Minnesota, we have a ban for convicted felons that if they possess a firearm, it's a 5-year mandatory minimum in prison, and we try to make sure that we enforce that because it is a requirement. It is something the legislature has passed. As to what the policy is, I leave that to the legislators. I try not to spend a lot of time arguing about what I think the law should be. I try more to deal with what the law is and let the legislators perform their function, let the people lobby their elected representatives and make their arguments. But I think for my position, my main focus is to deal with the law as it is. And whatever the legislature does with the law, we would try to follow it. And certainly federal legislation is always hard to keep up with because it changes from time to time as to which group is pushing what, when, and, you know, will it Will it go through the House? Will it go through the Senate? Can it possibly go through both? And that's a matter for somebody else to argue about than me.
You mentioned the legislature. Our legislature just ended without really, with a lot of undone business, without a bonding bill and without some spending provisions as well. Was there anything, we haven't talked to you since that has ended. Was there anything that you were lobbying for or watching for that did not get done that's still kind of hanging in the balance?
Well, obviously there was some funding for the justice system for training for the County Attorneys Association that we would like to see get out. But there were also other things that we were concerned about in terms of requiring disclosure of all the county attorneys. We're supposed to establish a – there was one proposal where county attorneys were to establish a website, publish the all the cases that didn't get charged or got dismissed, along with the name of the lawyer who made those decisions. And the County Attorneys Association as a whole opposed that. I think they estimated a cost I don't know the cost, but most of my colleagues felt like they would have to add staff, change software, and it would require a huge cost statewide to go forward with doing that. So that was one of the things that I think didn't make it out because it was in one of the omnibus bills and. So didn't get resolved, and I think that part was fine that we're not dealing with those requirements this year. But I think there's a lot in there that it would have been nice for them to get some of that stuff done.
Rice County Attorney John Fossum is with us. We were talking just briefly before we went on the air here. You mentioned a new initiative that you have been working on. What can you tell us about that?
You know, the new chief of the Faribault Police, John Sherwin, Chief Sherwin, contacted me about this and asked me to support it. And then Chief Elliott contacted me about it. And then so I've had conversations with them about it. And with the Healthy Community Initiative is writing a grant which would involve the police departments, involve my office, and involve community corrections and social services at the county level. And the idea would be to pursue a model rather than incarceration for minor drug offenses, for the low-level drug offenses, the police might be looking at a way of just helping people get treatment at the outstart, a program they're going to call the grant initiative describes it as deflection. So instead of getting into the criminal justice system, we might be able to find a way to just move people off into treatment early if they're willing to do it. And there's another, a second stage to that, which would involve my office, which would be diversion, so that instead of charging people with these rather minor, with these low-level drug offenses, the fifth degrees, the fourth degrees, the third degrees that tend to, can tend to linger in the court system a while. But rather than prosecute those, we would do a diversion program where they have some supervision, they get some treatment, and if they can successfully complete diversion, we might not, they might never be charged with, might never be prosecuted for that crime. And Chief Elliott and Chief Sherwin have both expressed to me their significant support for this. The Healthy Community Initiative and Ashley Anderson from that group is working on a grant proposal, which I think is supposed to go out next week, to get some funding to do this. And I've also had conversations about how we might be able to do some of that or some part of that, even if we don't get this highly competitive grant. But I think it's a really creative initiative. And as long as the chiefs, as long as the police are in support of it, I'm in support of it, and I'm willing to take a look at that and see if there's a way for us to reduce our corrections response, reduce our incarceration response and prosecution response to drug crimes and look at more of a treatment program. This is similar to a program that's been used successfully in Seattle. And so I think that's part of what we're trying to do. And if we can get the grant funding to do it, I think it's a great idea. And I really compliment Chief Elliott and Chief Sherwin for bringing this idea forward and contacting me about it.
It sounds very similar to what the program that's already being run, Drug Court, but only at a much earlier stage in the game.
Right.
Okay.
And it's before, so it would be before the prosecution. Drug Court is really about the people who are high risk and high needs and have a lot of criminal conduct, but not the violent, not violent felonies, not, but have really are on their way to prison. And this would be to get the people before they get into a long-term probation, before they get into a cycle of committing crime after crime. If we can get people to help break that early cycle, it might cut off some of those later drug court participants, but it could also save those people a lot and save society a lot in terms of we're not incarcerating them, we're not putting them into jails and prisons, and we are also helping them get the treatment programming that they need to deal with their issues in terms of just substance abuse.
Now, from a financial standpoint, where do the expenses come in? Would it be to pay for some type of treatment for these people? Would they pay for it themselves? Will you need to add personnel? Has all that been thoroughly vetted yet?
And as I said, we're still working on it. It's still it's still a proposal, but the funding would be to help pay for the treatment, to help pay the social services and corrections to do the supervision and do the treatment programming. From the standpoint of my office, we believe we can do it with our current resources. We would be assigning someone to simply be that gatekeeper to decide when diversion is appropriate and when it's not. It's part of just as part of somebody's caseload. So from my end, I don't think there's any extra cost, but the cost, of course, would be the treatment beds and the treatment programming. And if there's federal funding and other funding to help pay for that, that's what the grant is to help us address.
Rice County Attorney John Fossum is with us, sitting in right now. While we have you here, let's talk about the new Rice County Jail. That was approved earlier this week by the Rice County Board of Commissioners at their meeting. So evidently, are all systems go right now?
The board has accepted the bids, and so there's still a few more details to go forward, but they've accepted bids, and so we should be moving forward towards a groundbreaking in the near future.
All right. Now, is your office, as Rice County's attorney, you have some chores to do with the legal part of this and land acquisition and all that type of stuff. Are you pretty much done with this now, or are there still a few more things to do?
Well, we have developed a contract with our construction manager. We have developed a contract with the designer. We'll be working with the construction manager going forward to make sure that the contracts with all of the folks who are the winning bidders will make sense and help us stay within the budget that has been set and within the bids that they have proposed. So we've got some work to do on the contracting side, and we'll be working with that, and hopefully all the contracts go forward appropriately from there. So we should be fine.
All right. Rice County Attorney John Fossum. Anything else, John, while we have you in here?
I think that's about what I got for you this morning, Jeff.
All right.
It's nice to talk to you.
Thanks for coming in. Rice County Attorney John Fossum. You're listening to 95.1 FM and AM 1080 KYMN Northfield.